We're Lancer Radio, coming to you live from Pasadena City College campus at lancerradio.org. This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Author Monica Sucha-Vickers can type 124 words a minute. She's a very gifted artisan. If you see her beautiful quilts online on her Facebook page, you're going to wind up ooing and aahing. She's a traveler, adventurer. Her college roommate would probably warn you she plays practical jokes sometimes. She swims and bakes some incredible cupcakes, and she says she's planning her first blog after the publication of her book earlier this year. And oh yeah, almost forgot to tell you, Monica was born with one full limb and is a triple amputee. In her new book, My Extraordinary Life, she talks about her experiences. Monica, how'd you first decide to write your book, My Extraordinary Life?
I decided to write it because my grandma kept telling me I should. And I didn't really know what she wanted me to write about or what I should write about, but she said someday I would know, and that day, I guess, came because I finally figured it out.
Now, your grandma who kept telling you you should is the grandmother that you mention in your book, Grandmother Sucha, who sounds like a pretty amazing lady.
Yes, that was her. It's the same one.
What do you remember best about her?
I think there were lots and lots of things that were good memories from her, but mostly it was just the, I don't know, I used to describe that as everything I touched turned to gold, and I could do no wrong, and she, you know, she was very encouraging and very, everything I did, she just went, you know, was elated over. And I later figured out that she really did have kind of an idea that I wouldn't be able to do much, and so anything at all that I accomplished, she was so elated over.
Meanwhile, you proceeded to prove her very wrong.
Well, I don't think that was my mission to start with, but...
You say in your book you were 20 before you realized you might be somewhat different. What was it like growing up with your family and day-to-day living with your six brothers and sisters?
Well, that's where the ordinary comes in, because until I was 20, I didn't really realize there was anything. I didn't realize there was anything different. You know, I have need help in the snow and up a step, but otherwise it really didn't affect anything that went on in our house, for sure. And, you know, I was just expected to, if all the kids were doing A, B, and C, then so was I. If there was a chore that I quite obviously couldn't do, then I was given a different chore to do during the time they were all doing that. So it just didn't seem like, you know, anything was any different. So it didn't draw attention to the fact that I was different.
In fact, reading your book, you seem to be different in the sense of having a whole lot more confidence in high school and junior high than most people had. What were those days like for you?
Well, I never thought of it as I had an extraordinary amount of confidence. I just, you know, I think, as I think back, and so many people have asked me that question, I even asked it to myself as I wrote the book, but there was nothing that, you know, I really felt different or I felt compelled or... It was just that at this age you go to school, at this age you go to college, at this age you get a job. It was that kind of, you know, set in stone kind of pattern. And it never occurred to me that there might be a different way that I should be going because of any, you know, because of the physical factors. It never occurred to me that, maybe I don't have to go to college. Well, no one would expect me to work, so I guess I won't. Those things never occurred to me. And I even asked myself while I wrote my book, you know, how in denial were you? But it really wasn't like that either. It just didn't occur to me.
There's a big difference between in denial, which would imply aware of something, and just not realizing that anything is different. Where does your sense of fun come from that comes through in the book?
Ah, sense of fun. Oh, I think overall we had, you know, living with seven kids and them, some of them not even being a year apart. There are lots of, you know, you don't have opportunity to go on lots of vacations. You don't have money, you know, coming out your ears. And so you learn to have fun or not fun or fight, whatever you're going to do with your siblings. And so sometimes that was fun. And I really enjoyed things like, I don't know, typing, and I was very organized and I enjoyed doing that kind of stuff. I enjoyed cleaning. To me, those were fun things. As far as the personality, that I couldn't tell you where. My brothers are all comedians, but the girls didn't really get much of that, I don't think. I didn't get any, so.
But you say you enjoy cleaning, which kind of gives me pause a little bit. That almost sounds like...
I love to clean, and I always have. I'm not so much anymore, but I just like to do that. I always thought it would be fun to clean houses or be a waitress and clean off the tables, and happily nothing came of that.
I'm thinking, goodness, it's a good thing you didn't get your wish. Tell me a little about your college experience, please.
College, as I look back, was probably the best time of my entire life. I loved college. The people that I met, the classes, I just loved the experience of college. The football games, football's a big deal in Nebraska. And, you know, you're on your own for the first time. I loved the campus. I loved everything about college except, you know, the enormous amount of stairs to many of my classes and the significant distance to a great many of them, too, which made walking to these things and getting to these things, especially in the snow, was kind of a difficult thing. But, you know, we just factored them into my day. And now that I think back on some of that, I think, how did you ever do that? But at the time, it never occurred to me.
You and I are listening to Monica Sucha Vickers, if I could just speak today, author of the new book, My Extraordinary Life. And in her book, Monica makes the point that one of the main obstacles she's faced in her life hasn't been her disability, it's been the stereotypical attitudes of those around her. You share a great story about your experience looking for a job in Oceanside, your first interview, that seems to illustrate the difference between who you are and people's perceptions. I'm wondering if you would tell me that one now.
You mean at the job agency?
Yes, I do.
I still can feel that day. Well, I just, you know, when I first moved to San Diego, that's the first thing I had to do was get a job. And so, you know, I went to a job agency. That's where they advise people to go. And I was really excited to interview for, you know, a job and fill out the application. I knew that I could type. I knew that I could beat anyone in typing. So if that was going to be any criteria at all, I knew I would win. So all I had to do that day, the only thing they wanted for me to do that day was come in and take a typing test. And I was so confident that I would do well. So I get in there and I walk in the door and I say who I am, and the woman's face is still locked in my brain. It's like, and at that time I was wearing artificial limbs, so she didn't see, you know, she didn't see what she could have seen. But when she pointed me over to the typewriter, she told me how to turn it on. And I was just suddenly very incensed. And I thought, what makes you think that I don't know how to turn this on if I'm coming in to take a typing test? So I sat down, and it was a five-minute test, and, you know, she's timing me and whatever. And I was so incensed that I think I just did incredible on the test, more so than I probably would have. But when the time was over, I got up and gave her my paper, and I left. And as I, you know, she wanted me to wait for her to grade it, and I said, I'm not going to wait. I don't want any job from here. And I left. Then it took me a while to get down the elevator into the car, and pretty soon she's chasing me through the parking lot. She's running after me. And I get to the car, and I'm getting in it, and she's telling me, you know, that I did really well, and I continued to tell her I didn't want any job from that place, and I told her when I left that I turned off the typewriter. I think she might have understood at some point, probably not till she graded the paper, but I think she understood at some point what my point was. But she did say, as we chatted for a brief moment, and I told her, you know, how I had felt, and but she did tell me that probably a good job for me would be medical transcription because you could just sit in one place and type. And she obviously knew at that point that I could type. So I thanked her and I left and went home and looked in the paper for a medical transcription job, and there one was. So that was kind of ironic.
And from there, what happened for you with medical transcription?
Well, I went and applied for that job, and there was still, you know, the stereotype stuff there. the worst stereotypes always come, it seems like, with work. But there's also, they can't say no based on that kind of discriminatory stuff. And so they're all very careful to couch it very nicely. But this particular place was not sure I could do the job at all. And so I had to start at a lower salary. And eventually, of course, I did fine, and they knew I did fine, and all was well. And I loved it there, and I got quite an education there and was able to start my own business after that. So I credit that place with probably more education than I had at all in school.